We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. Unfortunately, there were those people whose homes were damaged in recent storms in the southeast Michigan area, such that they were declared national disaster areas, thereby qualifying them for relief from the federal government through the Federal Emergency Management Association. We will have on in this half hour of the show Latanga Hopes, who is a spokesperson for FEMA, and tell you what you might be able to take advantage of in getting your house back to ship shape, tip top, all that type of stuff. In the second half hour of the show, we'll be discussing the portion of the week, which is Lech Lecha. We're talking about the patriarch Abraham. We've got wonderful Jewish music scattered throughout the show. A very poignant Hasidic story all the way at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Cypriot police stopped a planned assassination against Israeli tycoon Teddy Sagi. It is believed the Iranians were behind the plot. Stay tuned. Israeli President Yitzhak Herzog was in Ukraine for the 80th anniversary of the Babi Yar massacre by the Nazis of Ukrainian Jews. Anti-Semitic slogans were spray-painted on the walls of the Auschwitz Museum in Poland. A German Jewish singer was denied a room in a hotel in Leipzig, Germany, because he was wearing a Jewish star. A beer bottle was thrown at the head of an Ohio Jewish teen. The attacker yelled anti-Semitic slurs at the girl. And some good news, the French Senate approved the adoption of the International Holocaust Definition of Anti-Semitism. The resolution was overwhelmingly supported by a majority of both parties. Interesting news, kind of left my head scratching a little bit. An Egypt Air jet landed at Israel's Ben-Gurion Airport. It was the first, listen to this, it was the first direct flight since the two countries signed the Camp David Accords in 1979. That means they established a peace treaty in 1979. They said, we're going to be good buddies and have all kinds of stuff go on. And till this week, there was no direct flight from Cairo to Tel Aviv or vice versa. Speaking of flying, El Al Airlines announced that it will start direct flights to Tokyo and Chicago next April. That's from Tel Aviv. Only one of 11 Nobel laureates in 2021 is Jewish. Not a great year. David Julius of University of California at San Francisco won in medicine for his work in sensory transmitters. And finally, we can put this in a believe it or not, a 2,700-year-old toilet from the days of the first temple in Jerusalem was discovered by archaeologists. And no, it doesn't work still. And that's the news. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're online with Latanga Hopes, is a representative from FEMA. We're talking about getting your house back together after the recent storms in southeast Michigan and how FEMA is going to help that doing. How are you today, Latanga?
Good morning, Rabbi.
It's a pleasure to have you. Okay, tell us about FEMA, first of all. We hear this word all the time, FEMA, FEMA, FEMA. What, other than the fact that we can guess what the acronym FEMA stands for, but what is FEMA?
So it is, as the acronym implies, it's a federal emergency management agency. We specialize in helping local communities, state communities recover from disasters.
Okay. How so?
We do that by, first of all, making sure that we follow the chain of command and that we come in as guests in the communities, which means that we believe, and what we've learned through assessments, is that all disasters start and end locally, which means that we respectfully understand that when there's a disaster and it begins to unfold, your local police and fire station and political pundits will all get together and respond accordingly. Once they assess and realize that they may need more support, this will then go through the state, who will then also get involved, and they will provide resources and funding to support the recovery process as well. So there's a response and there's a recovery. Should the state then deem it necessary, of course, with the consultation, which we always do, we do this as a whole community approach, they will then say, we should probably consider looking at this from a national level. They will then submit paperwork and petition to say, we'd like to have you come in and assess the situation because we think we may need more resources in order to make sure that there's help for the citizens. And that's the goal, is to make sure that there's a recovery process, there's support, and that there's safety.
Mm-hmm. Does this process require, say, like the president to make a national declaration that this area needs our federal assistance? Or because it just goes through like chain of command, the city can't handle it, the county can't handle it, the state can't handle it. Well, maybe we could ask the feds to get involved, but no, this has to come as a statement from the president of the United States. This area needs help.
And it's called the Stafford Act, which is the criteria. If anybody's actually interested in looking for information to support the platform that we work for, how we establish and define disasters. Everything can be found. It's public information, and the Stafford Act would be your resource, and that will explain everything to you.
Singer Act, that's it. Okay, so now, back in June, there were these horrific storms that came just rumbling through southeast Michigan. There were streets that were flooded. There were highways that were flooded. There were houses that were damaged. There were downed trees all over the place. And it was a mess, warranting to become a federal disaster. So now FEMA gets called in. So what happens now? Latanga Hopes.
So what happens now is we are now working to bring in Macomb and Oakland counties. The original declaration was for only Wayne and Washtenaw counties. And you have to remember the incident period was June 25th and 26th. We had storms, floodings, and also tornadoes. The declaration itself was July 15th. That's where the president deems it federally worthy of coming in and providing the resources needed to support the community in their recovery process. And so now that we have included Macomb and Oakland counties, we've done a couple of things. The first thing we did was made the announcement that Macomb and Oakland counties could now have their communities and the individuals and residents apply for assistance. We immediately followed up with that by extending the application deadline to make sure that there was enough time for people to get the information, to pull their resources as far as personal effects and information that they would need to bring in for verification. And then after that, we responded by opening a disaster recovery center. So what happens is there's a process that we tend to follow to make sure that we are availing ourselves and providing the resources that we need so that everyone that needs to come in and work through the eligibility process have access.
Okay, very good. Now, so you mentioned the word disaster recovery center. What exactly is the function, Latanga Hopes, of this center? Do I have to go there What's happening now?
Again, it's in the words. This is a place, and I always describe them as clean, well-lighted places. You know, disasters can be very gray in the sense that there's usually a lot of water involved. There's usually no lights, no electricity. And what happens when you come to the disaster recovery center, it's going to be a clean place. There are people that are available, and they are very professionally inclined. They can identify with what you're going through. They have the experience to help you start that process of recovery. So once you come in, you'll meet with what we would refer to as an individual specialist. They focus on individuals and households and those needs that have to do with recovery. What I typically do when I'm speaking is I explain to people, listen carefully to what this representative is saying to you. Your goal is to work through the incurred damages and to be able to apply the information on the application to help us see how you've been impacted. And if you listen very carefully to what they're asking you, because it's pretty much a guideline of what it is that we have assessed for damages in that community after the disaster. Once you get through that, our goal will then be to make sure that we focus on making sure that you're recovering in a safe, sanitized, and functional process. We then can also make sure that if you need other local support and if there's other unmet needs, that we avail the process through, again, local and community resources.
Okay. Now, so, where in Southeast Michigan are these disaster recovery centers, Latonya?
Okay. Well, right now we only have one that's focused on the new recovery centers. We have a couple of them, but I think the one that's going to be most important is the one that's in Southfield. It's in the Oakland County, and it's referred to as the city office building, I think. It's a complex.
It's a town center. Yes. A 26,000 Evergreen. Yes.
Indeed. That's the address. So it's 26,000 Evergreen Road, Southfield, Michigan. If you have questions and you didn't get that address and you're not familiar with it, we also have a DRC locator. The acronym or the DRC is for Disaster Recovery Center Locator. I can provide you with that information, but if you are not savvy tech, you can always call 1-800-621-3360. 1-800-621-FEMA.
Oh, there we go. I was going to say, does it spell something? But you beat me to that. Okay, so now I don't want to go to the recovery center. I'm tech savvy. I can do things online. Can I just do it from my computer, Latonya Hopes?
Apply for assistance from your computer?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you can.
How do I do
ultimately,
that?
Okay. You would just simply go to disasterassistance, one word, .gov, or I should just say one syntax, disasterassistance.gov. Start going through the process, and we've made it as easy as possible. There's even like little encouraging inserts that will say like, you're almost done. you have this much more to go. And it can be a tedious process. What I would recommend is that you try to collect and have all of your verification information available with you as you're sitting so that you can reference that information. Anytime you're dealing with grants, which is money, there's going to be a verification process. So not only will you need your name, your address, probably bank information, your address for where you were living when you were impacted by this event, and there may be an address because you were incapable of continuing to live where you are. So now you need a current address because you're incapable of staying at your home. Gather all of that information together and just start going through your process. You may need insurance information. That's for people that may be undercover by their insurance company. Other people may need to provide information because they may have received local help. And the reason why that's important, because in the recovery process, we want to make sure that we're not double dipping. there's a whole community approach, but we want to make sure it's whole 100%, not 100% one.
Okay, that's understood. That's understandable. Okay, so now let me talk personal. So the storm hit, and it did some damage to my roof, my personal house. And how do I know that it did some damage to my house? Is because the next time it rained after that, I had this shower in my closet. So, you know, thank God. But it was actually very well placed. I have to thank the Almighty for this, because the hole in the roof that was created by the storm was directly over the hatch that goes into the crawl space. So when I removed the hatch from the crawl space, so there's a straight line. I put a bucket there, and every time it rained, the water just went straight into the bucket. So there's no other damage to the house. It's just the roof. Now, my insurance doesn't cover my roof. They will, if something would have gotten destroyed, if the floor would have gotten destroyed because of the leak, they would have covered the floor, but they don't cover the roof. So, but I didn't want, you're talking back in late June, July. I didn't want to sit there with a closet with a bucket in it. So I got the roof fixed. And then, lo and behold, 2 weeks ago, someone knocks on my door and says, oh, by the way, FEMA's in town. We can help you get things fixed. I already got the thing fixed. Is there any recourse for me? Do I have any? This is out-of-pocket expenses that I had to put out, Latanya Host. What is there recourse for me?
Recourse and recoup.
I would like
be the term.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I'd like to get paid back if I would have been very slow and I hadn't done anything, and FEMA said, "Yeah, we'll pay for your roof to get fixed." But now I fixed my roof, so FEMA doesn't. Oh, your roof is fixed. You know, have a nice day.
I would encourage anyone that incurred damages, that's albeit you fixed your situation, to make sure you weren't exposed to continuing or ongoing situations, or to make sure that you were safe and sanitary, I would still call FEMA. If you were impacted by the damages, if your home and your structure incurred damages, call FEMA. Explain the situation. Just really simple. I've already recovered from it, but I have receipts. I have pictures. I've had someone come out and do a professional assessment and surveyed what's happened. Collect that information. Give FEMA a call. I specialize in getting information out to the community, but there are people that can go through that process and find out what they can do to help you in your recovery process. The goal is to help you recover. We do this with helping people that are before the disaster. We do this with helping people during the disaster, and we do it for people after the disaster. So sometimes you may fit within criteria where, yes, I have completely, worked to get myself back online and recovered from the situation, but I have those receipts. Come in and see us. Go to the Disaster Recovery Center. Call us, or as you mentioned, you're savvy with your computer. Go to disasterassistance.gov, and they can also help you there.
Okay, that's great. So now people can get their houses back together again. There's something else I wanted to talk to you about, because I'm involved with a nonprofit that serves the community. So there's something called, and I'm hoping that other or people who are representatives of organizations are listening to this, something called long-term recovery groups, which we at Jewish Ferndale are starting to try and organize in Ferndale. Could you explain what is a long-term recovery group, and how would one get involved with such a thing, Latanya Hopes?
We have two different criteria for the long-term recovery groups. Now, long-term recovery typically involves, like you mentioned, voluntary agencies. And this is ongoing support. We always tell people that we're here for the long haul and as long as we're needed. But most people think that after the sirens have ended and the threat has been removed, that's the end of the process. FEMA are sometimes in communities years after these incidents have taken place. So typically what happens with the voluntary agencies is that we find a way to utilize federal funding to provide resources for people that are still recovering from that process, and that way we can then supplement federal support.
Okay, so how does an organization go about getting involved with such a process then, Latanya?
we've invested heavily in the 1-800-621-3362 number. And for that reason, it is the mainstream resource for any inquiries that you may have about FEMA. Call that number. They will get you connected with voluntary agencies, but you've already involved in one. But you can use that number and say, we'd like to make sure that we're able to support with, and here are your keywords. Tell them that you want to help with mitigation and preparedness. Mitigation is going to help prevent certain situations. Preparedness is going to help you be ready for certain situations. And if you tell them that you want to volunteer, they'll get you to the resources and the people that you need to speak with so that you can make yourself available in your community to support in those endeavors when disaster strikes.
Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, so Latanya, we're wrapping up over here. Let's give us that number one more time, please.
The phone number is 1-800-621-3362.
Okay,
62. Online.
Yes, online. It's
disasterassistance.gov.
Wonderful. Okay, that's going to take care of this segment of the show. Our guest today has been Latanya Hopes from FEMA. We've been talking about what you can do if your home occurred damage during recent storms this last summer and how FEMA might be able to help reimburse, pay for the damages done. We want to make sure that you're in a safe sanitary environment is the buzzword. Well, thank you so much, Latanya, for educating our listeners.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Finman. And thank you for spreading that word for us. We're very grateful.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. It seems like the last couple of weeks, we have been playing new songs by two individuals, Yaakov Shweki and Avram Fried. They have just become prolific. I don't know, maybe they just have the opportunity. I'm going to have to maybe call up Avram Fried or Yaakov and ask what's going on. So we're going to play a new Yaakov Shweki song and a new Avram Fried song this segment of the show. Yaakov Shweki up first. This is Yismahu, that you should make them happy.
I'm here. like some old songs. You guys definitely know it. You feel it.
And that was Jakó Szweki. Up next, this is the Budapest Klezmer Band for all you Klezmer fans. The song is called Klezmer 5.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. We got time for one more. This is Avram Fried, brand new. It's called Am Yisrael Chai. Our people, Israel, lives.
Kisa goir ba maye me itchoni, o ba nehoros lo yid buro kiseler ve moish, lo yisikod ve lehavol lo yisivar bo. Kisa goir ba maye me itchoni, o ba nehoros lo yid buro kiseler ve moish, lo yisikod ve lehavol lo yisivar bo. Shumayim,
Am Yisrael
Chai, Vidach Hazah Shumayim.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the portion of Lech Lecha. Sometimes it's called Lech, but mostly everybody knows it as Lech Lecha. It involves the life of the patriarch Abraham. Or as it says, this week we get to live with Abraham. Because Abraham didn't really have it so easy. He had to go through a lot of trials and tribulations, a lot of tests, as they're referred to. In fact, they're referred to as the 10 tests of Abraham. And they already started in last week's portion, when Abraham got thrown into a furnace and walked out. And then this week's portion starts and says, listen, it's not a good place to be. You should get out of this place. Not going to go to a different place. And when he got there, there was a famine. This is where God told me to go. There's nothing to eat. So he went down to Egypt. His wife got abducted. He got out of Egypt. His nephew and his started a whole quarrel thing going on over money, of course. What else? Then there was a war between the 4 kings and the 5 kings, and his nephew got abducted. Then he gets told, "You're gonna have a bris, like hello. You're gonna make have a circumcision." That's all in this week's portion. Next week, there's more tests. What's the deal? Why is it? Why? Why is not a good question when you're talking about Judaism and God. Okay, we can talk about a lot of things, but why generally isn't. But this one we can ask over here. What was the deal? Didn't the Almighty know what Abraham was, what his mettle was? He, after all, he was the one who said, oh, by the way, I'm here, and you have to promulgate monotheism. He could have done that to anybody, but he specifically chose Abraham because Abraham had the potential to do it. He had the ability. He was there. He was Mr. Patriarch of the Jewish people. But it's not enough just to have a potential. What the Almighty did was bring it to actual. That Abraham was able to stand up. Oh, do you want to get thrown into a furnace? Or would you like to walk away and bow down to my idol? So with Abraham, it was like a no-brainer. If I have to die, I mean, we're talking, this was a 5,000-degree furnace. He wouldn't have felt a thing. It would have been painless. He just would have been disintegrated and incinerated instantaneously. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand up to this trial. Now, what did that do? That showed a concrete expression within Abraham. Where are we going with all this? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob also were known as trailblazers. In a very literal sense of the word, or let's call it figurative, but you have an area which is uncharted. No one has ever walked there before. There's no path. What does a person do? He goes in there with a machete, or if he's lucky nowadays, he has a bulldozer, an earth mover, and they clear out all of the stuff that's impeding the way, and they create a path. And then everybody else afterwards gets to go on the path, and they don't have to work so hard. So Abraham did that for us, but we as his children, do we get super highways where we can just cruise at 80 miles an hour? Unfortunately not. Because Abraham, what did he do as a trailblazer? He showed how to stand up to tests. And indeed, everybody is presented with tests. And what is the purpose of these tests? They're not punishments. Not through any one of these things did Abraham consider it, nor was it to be considered a punishment. Why do I have to do this? No, Abraham understood this is a challenge which is going to bring out some potential within him and make him a better person. So we, as individuals, as his followers, know how to follow the test. When do these tests begin? These tests begin when the alarm clock goes off. And now you have the opportunity, do I turn the alarm clock off and get out of bed, or do I hit the snooze button and go back to sleep? That's a test. That's a challenge. And when does it end? It ends. Do I hit the off button on the remote or to watch the next television show? For those who do such things. It's when do I go to bed? And how long is this person going to be doing this? Until their last shema, when they make their final confession and give up their soul. It's a constant thing because every day has challenges. If a day were not to have a challenge, what would you bother getting up out of bed for? And that itself would be a challenge. Oh, I got nothing to do today. I have nothing to do. I have no worries. I get to stay in bed and relax all day. That might be true, but I'm sure there are things that have to be. And that might also itself be the challenge. Get up and go find something to do that's good. So, Abraham made it easier for us. Thank God we don't necessarily have to be thrown into a furnace. I don't recommend martyrdom at home, folks. Martyrdom hurts. But we have our things. Do I walk outside and express my Judaism in a proud manner? Like this German celebrity who was told, you can't stay here because you're, unless you tuck in your Jewish star. What did he do? He walked out. He said, yeah, I'm not giving you my money. And he went someplace else. He was playing a big stadium or something in Leipzig. I don't remember the person's name because he's not a star here yet. And he stood up and said, you can keep it, buddy. And walked out. That's what a Jew is supposed to do. That's the test. That's what Abraham blazed for us We are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com. And there, right on the homepage, contact us link. I get a lot of books. Okay. A lot of the books I hear because of various newsletters that are sent to me, they're reviews of books. I probably get like a half a dozen in the course of a week. And therefore have access to books, which I think would be interesting for you to hear about, and we promote them, and we have authors on regularly. There are some websites that, forget about it, you're not going to contact them. It's layers upon layers upon layers of till you finally get the contact site. There was one of them, I don't remember which one it was, they had a phone number. I had to call the phone number and ask them, what's your email? It's just like, what? On Jewish Ferndale, excuse me, on RabbiFinman.com, it's right there on the homepage. We also have archived editions of the radio show going back 2 years or so, maybe a little more. We have archived editions of other ways in which we convey Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. It's all very quick. Everything is quick. So, you know, you don't have time. People just don't have time anymore. Except the classes. The classes are all about 45 minutes long because it's a class. It's not a little blurb thing. If you want little blurb things, you go to the U-Parsha. That's a little blurb thing. But there's also the very important donations page. We're on air 26 years. We're going on 27 soon. 26 years we've been doing this. And 26 years we've been ending the show with a request for a pledge. And it's going to go on probably that way for the next 26 years because the commercials do cover part, but radio is expensive. Podcasts are expensive. You got to pay to play, as they say, and we need your help. So go to RabbiFinman.com, go to the donations page, make it a continued giving. You could do that through PayPal so that you don't even remember that. You don't have to do anything. It just does it by itself automatically. It deducts from your PayPal account or from your, however you have that set up, make a one-time donation, whatever it is, where it's all free and easy, it's all good. And speaking of free and easy and all good, so you can drop a donation in an envelope and put it in the mail, send it to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48237. Speaking of 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220, which is the address of Jewish Ferndale, part of the same blanket under our umbrella organization of the Jewish Hour. Coming up on October the 17th, we're having Rabbi David Shapiro of Or Sameach, who's going to be Torah Under the Sky. We're going to have telescopes set up in the parking lot. He's done this before. This is way cool. And he talks about what the stars are and what the Torah says about the stars, what Judaism says about the stars. And then we get to look at the stars. And that night, everything from Venus to Neptune is visible, provided it's a clear night, of course. And then there's a whole host of four trillion other stars. That's on October the 17th, 7:30 p.m. That's an outdoor event. Masks will not be required, but you do have to be vaccinated. And then on November 8th, we have our bi-monthly discussion as Jewish Ferndale's bi-monthly discussion this week. This month it will be the Two-State Solution Act. We will have Congressman Andy Levin will tell us about the two-state solution, and that will be, hopefully it could be outside also, but it's November if it is inside, so it will be mask mandated, and you do have to be vaccinated again to participate. And that's November 8th. If you have any questions, you can go to the JewishFerndale.com website, and there you can contact us and see anything that happens up. Okay, the Jewish story. a man by the name of Rabbi Avraham Rappaport came to the Rebbe. He was a businessman, very successful businessman, which his business dealings, you're talking in the 70s, 1970s, took him back and forth to Israel quite frequently. He was going to have to spend some extended time in Israel for his business. And he had an appointment to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe before he went. And he explained that very often he takes his wife, but this time he can't take his wife because she's about to give birth. And unfortunately, he's probably not even going to be there for the birth because of this business maisa, this whole deal. Very interesting the thing the Rebbe said to him. The Rebbe said to him, buy her an open ticket that she should be able to come when she's ready to come. So this Avram Rappaport said, Rebbe, I don't know if that's necessary because she trusts me. She knows that as soon as she wants to come, I got her a ticket and everything is, it's really no problem. The Rebbe said, you have to understand her feelings. Here it'll be. She will have just given birth. She'll have been in the situation. She'll be missing you because you're not going to be there. There's a big difference with her having a promise that you'll get her a ticket or having the ticket in her hand. And with this, we understand the sensitivity of the Rebbe. That is going to do it for the show today. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.